We left off last week. I think we were up to Amar Rav Nosson Bar Mar Okhva. We had just spoken about saying Shema long, saying the word Echad long enough to have in mind that God is heaven is the God of heavens above and the earth below, and in the four corners of the earth. One interesting practice, the way I think what we cited last week we discussed was the idea of being Marich B'dalid, long enough to think about the, I'll call it the six directions. Interestingly enough, though, there is a tradition, number of Rishonim quote, that during the Ches, one is supposed to have in mind that God is the God above and below, because they quote a Gemara Menachos of why the Ches has a little arrow. If you look the way a Ches is written in a Sefer Torah, it's actually two ways, but it's not the way you ever see a Ches in the normal printing. And a Ches in a normal printing, you have, I guess you could call it two legs that look almost like a Vav, and you have a bar across the top. But in the Sefer Torah, the Ches is either a Vav and a Zion or two Zions with a little like kind of arrow without the long piece, you know, the wooden shaft, but just the directional, the two pieces of kind of an upside down V, which points up. That's the way a Ches is written. Whether you have a Vav and a Zion or a Zion and a Zion, I think is a machlokas, whether you have Ksav Ari or Ksav Beis Yosef. I think most of our Sefer Torah that we prefer are Ksav Beis Yosef. I think the Lubavitchers particularly like the Ksav Ari. Anyway, so they point to a Gemara Menachos that says that the Gag of the Ches is Chatrei Lamala. It's pointing up to indicate that that's where God is, I guess, the one who is Echad. So some say that during the Ches, you should have in mind God has dominion above and below, and during the Dalid for the Arba Ruchos, for the four directions. Be that as it may, the Gemara now turns its attention to the question of stopping doing things when you're saying Kriya Shema. Now, I want to sort of frame everything with the following question. Up until this point, we have discussed really one issue about Kriya Shema, which in this parak, which is about Kavana. How far do you have to have Kavana? And initially, the Mishnah suggests that you need Kavana. It says, in Kivein Libo Likros Yatza. And the Gemara talked about whether that's really Kavana for the mitzvah or not. But then on the top of this amud, and literally the last line of the previous amud, the Gemara spoke about, quoted two versions, two opinions in a brisa. How far do you have to have kavana? Either the first three, or the way Tosus says, two psukim, or the entire first parsha. And there was a discussion about that. And then finally, we got, after the Gemara finished its whole thing, and after Rabbi Yochanan was quoted as paskening, like, one of two different opinions that both said the same thing, which is the entire first parsha. Then the Gemara quotes a statement on the second medium width line that we just read last week, which is Rabbi Meir says, only the first pasuk requires kavanas halev. That's what the Gemara presents. And the Balei HaTosfos and the Rambam both paskin, like Rabbi Meir, and say that you only require kavana for the first pasuk. And I'm going to put aside any distinctions between different kinds of kavanas. We're just going to leave it as kavana, period. Now the Gemara is going to talk about a couple of other phenomena which relate to how we perform Kriya Shema. The first is Amida. Now, Amida doesn't mean standing. We already saw in the last parak that there's a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, how you read Kriya Shema, let's say in the morning. Beis Shammai says, literally, uvekumecha, you have to be standing. And Beis Hillel says, no, v'lechcha v'derech, you can do anything you want. And there is really a kapeda, a very strong preference, not to stand up for Kriya Shema. If you're a person who stands, you like to stand. You stand for Pesukei D'Zimra, you stand for, as long as you sit down for Kaddish, if you're a KJ. But if you stand for everything else, you stand for Pesukei D'Zimra, you stand for Birchas Kriya Shema. So then that's fine. So you're standing. You don't have to sit down when you read Kriya Shema in the morning. But if you're sitting down, like most people are sitting down, certainly after Baruch Hu, they sit down, they sit for Birchas Kriya Shema, to stand up for Kriya Shema is inappropriate. But there is a requirement of Amida by Kriya Shema, which doesn't refer to the physical position, but it means you stop doing what you're doing. For example, if you happen to be traveling on the way, so you could be, well, let's say you're walking on a journey. So Amida means you stop. It means literally you might stand in one place, but you stop what you're doing. And you have such a usage in biblical Hebrew. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, it should have been last week's parsha, but it's in Moshe Rabbeinu's retelling in Sefer Dvarim, V'ata po amod imodi. Amod imadi doesn't mean God told Moshe stand up here. It means wait with me, stay with me. So amida means you stop doing what you're doing. If you're a worker, we're going to see later in the parak, workers can continue their work while they're reading Kriya Shema for most of it, because to stop their work would be, in effect, stealing from the Baal HaBayis. But during the first parsha, it sounds like we're going to see later, at least according to one as it's presented, during the first parsha, the Poalim have to stop what they're doing. If they're working on top of the tree, whatever they're doing there, they're picking the fruits off the top of the tree there. So they don't come down, have to come down for Kriya Shema, but for the first parsha, they stop picking the fruit. After that, for the rest of the Kriya Shema, they can continue picking the fruit. So the question is the standard for Kavana and the standard for Amida the same? Meaning, if I only need Kavana up until a certain point, does that also mean that I only need to do Amida up until a certain point? Which would mean that according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the first two or three psukim require Kavana, you have to be Omeid until Alef Avecha. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says the first parsha requires Kavana, you have to be Omeid, again, stop, until Uchsavtama Mezuzos Be'secha V'sharecha. And if you hold like Rabbi Meir, that it's only the first pasuk, Shema, that requires Kavana, then you only have to be Omeid up until that point. Similarly, we're going to see later on our Amud, the question, and I think we spoke about this last week, and I don't know if I mentioned the Machlokas, but if you're kind of nodding off, you're nodding off, you're very tired, you're repeating Kriya Shema because they davened early in Shul like most Shuls do, they davened right after Shkia, before it says HaKohavim, so you have to repeat Kriya Shema before you go to bed. And you go, you lie down in bed, you're repeating Kriya Shema, and it's hard to keep your eyes open. So the question, and the Gemara will say something about the first pasuk, and the question is, what about the rest of Kriya Shema? How do we relate to that? Do you have to say it? Do you not say it? So all of these questions, when we're talking about, you know, something about, let's say, the pasuk Rishon, does everybody's positions kind of line up? In other words, do we say that the requirement is the same for all of these different things, or can you say that there's a different standard? That what requires Kavana is one thing, what requires Amida is a different thing. So let's read the Gemara first, and then I'll talk about what the positions of the Rishonim are. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nosson Bar Mar Ukva, Amar Rav Yehuda. So this is the seventh medium width line. Amar Nosson Bar Mar Ukva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Al Levavecha Bamida. So first, the way it's presented is Al Levavecha, those two words, the end of the third pasuk. Vayu Advar Mel Asher Nochim Itzavachayo, Al Levavecha Bamida. You have to do amidas. The Gemara says immediately, Al Vavecha Salkadaitach. What do you mean? You're running around, you're running on the track, you're making food in the kitchen for everything up until the words Al Vavecha. And then you freeze, and then you go back to doing your work afterwards. That's ridiculous.
So the Gemara says, sorry, where are we, please?
We're on the seventh medium with line.
No, what page? I'm sorry, what page?
Gimel Lamed Beis.
Okay, thank you.
So the Gemara says, no, Ela Ema Ad Al Vavecha Ba'amida. Mikan ve'elach lo. So the Gemara says, up until Alav Avecha, from Shema until Alav Avecha, you have to stop what you're doing. After that, you can resume. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar kol parsha kula b'amida. Rabbi Yochanan says the entire parsha has to be b'amida, the first parsha. The Azda Rabbi Yochanan l'tame. Now the Gemara links Rabbi Yochanan's opinion to what Rabbi Yochanan paskin earlier. The Amar Rabba Barachana Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'Rabbi Acha she'amar mishum Rabbi Yehuda. So just as Rabbi Yochanan paskin earlier that Kavana is required for the entire first parsha of Shema, not the first, just the first pasuk, not the first three psukim, but the entire parsha, so too Amida should be required. Now, if you were to stop here, and this would have been the assumption, I believe this is the position of Tosfos and the Rambam, which is that only the first pasuk requires Amida, because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. We don't paskin that the entire first parsha requires Kavana. We don't paskin that the first three psukim require Kavana. We paskin like Rabbi Meir that only the first pasuk requires Kavana. Hence, they rule that only the first pasuk requires Amida. So if you take a look at Tosfos, for example, Alav Avecha Ba'amida, the third Tosfos on our page, firstly, Tosfos writes, B'Yushalmi Mefaresh Lav Dihaya Yoshev Omeid. The Yushalmi explains, it doesn't mean if you're sitting down, you have to stand up. If you are in motion, you're traveling, then you stop. And Afagad, Beis Hillel Amri, called Adam Kore Kedarko, even though Beis Hillel says you can read even when you're walking on the way, nonetheless, Mikomako Mitzvah Min Hamuvchar la'amod kishuhu mahalech. It's still a mitzvah to stop when you're traveling. Lefish eino miyushav kolkach. You're not as focused. Ve'eino yachol lechaven kishuhu mahalech kasher haya omed. You can't have the same kavana when you're in motion than when you're actually standing still. There's a very interesting story that's told. I forget who tells the story about the famous two behavioral economists, Amos Tversky and Daniel Kahneman. They used to go on walks a lot and they would talk about ideas. And apparently the pace of their walking, when they would start to really get to delve into stuff that was complicated, they would actually slow down in their walking because the energy, the mental energy that was required for concentrating on their work dictated they couldn't actually be moving as fast. So the bottom line is that when you stop is when you can have the most of your physical energy to focus your mind on Shema, and that's why ideally you should stop. V'chein halacha, now Tosa says, so too we paskin the mahalech b'derech mitzvah lamod b'pasuk rishon. U'be'inan, kost probably should be de'be'inan kavana b'pasuk rishon levad. So Tosos links his psak in the previous very tiny Tosos that we paskin like Rava, who holds paskins like Rabbi Meir. He links that and says that the same halacha is going to be applied to Alevavecha, to Amida, which only has to be done for the first pasuk. I want to share with you, however, another position in the Rishonim. And I think the easiest way to do this is to just bring up my Bar Ilan. I'm going to bring up the tour. Give me one moment, and then I will share it with you.
Rabbi? So yes. Standing is stopping, but really what it is sharpening focus.
Correct. But the assumption, so as we'll see in one second, there may be an additional element to it, but as Tosis presents, it's about sharpening one's focus. Yes. So 1 second. Let me just make this big enough and I will share it. Okay. Let me share my screen. So the tour writes, he says, Umihu im kore mahalech tzarach lamod b'pasuk harishon. If you're reading while you're traveling, you're supposed to stop during the first pasuk. Ubal halachos gedolos kasav shetzarach lamod ad alavecha. But the Bahag, one of the Gaonim, rules that it's until alavecha, v'kach kasav harayvid. And now he says, "V'ikar makom makavana hu pasuk rishon." So he goes on. I forget where he explains. Oh, it's going to be a little later. Does he say it here? No, he doesn't say it. It must be in. I think it's in Rabbeinu Yonah, which is going to be hard to share. He says that there's a difference between kavana is one requirement, and the second requirement is that your kriya should be keva and not arai. It shouldn't be sort of haphazard. So from the vantage point of Kavana, if the only issue were Kavana, then we would say that you could stop after, you could start resuming your traveling after the first pasuk. But he says the idea of reading the parasha while you're walking, while you're traveling, doing other things, makes it appear like kind of haphazard, not really focused. And therefore they say that the entire first parasha should be done by Mida. The truth is, if you look at the Gemara as presented, the position of Tosfos and the Rambam makes much more sense because the Gemara explicitly links Rabbi Yochanan's opinion of Ad Alev Avecha Ba'amida to his position about what part of Kriya Shema requires Kavana. So I'm not really, even though it might be a nice svara, it might be a nice idea why you should require standing or stopping the entire first parsha, the simple reading of Gemara suggests, as Tosfos says and as the Rambam says. Okay. So now the Gemara continues on the third to last, the medium width line. Tan Rabbanan, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Zo Kriya Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi apparently only read one pasuk. Now that may strike you as strange. You'd expect Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was certainly a very firm man. He was the, maybe not the author, at least the editor of the Mishnah. He was a tremendous God of Atar, and he only read the first pasuk. So as we'll see in a moment, there was a reason why he only read the first pasuk. Amar le Rav le Rav Chia, lo chazina le Rebbe de mekabel al amacho shemayim. So apparently Rebbe used to, Rav says, I never saw Rebbe say Shema. He was never mekabel al amacho shemayim. How could that be? So Amar le Rav Chia, Rav's uncle, says bar pachti, which means literally perhaps the son of princes. That's the endearing term he uses for Rav all over Shas. My dear nephew, Bishah Shemavir Yadav Alpanav Mikamel Alav Ol Malchus Shemayim. That when Rebbe, you know, during the middle, so apparently what's going on is Rebbe's giving shir. And he starts giving shir, maybe as the Nasi, he's got a lot of business, you know, affairs of state to deal with. So the only time to do it is when all the other malachim are sleeping. So first thing in the morning, you know, from daybreak, Rebbe starts giving shir. He gives shir for hours. So Reb Chiya says to Rav, you weren't paying attention. Occasionally, Rebbe, you know, he take a break. Someone asked the question. So he puts his hand on his eyes. Looks like he's thinking, the question was a dumb question. He knew the answer to the question. But instead, he puts his hands over the eyes. And while he's doing that, he says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And you don't realize it? So that's when Rebbe says, Shema. Okay, fine. So now the Gemara asks, Chozer v'gomra o eno chozer v'gomra? So did Rebbe at some point later finish Shema? After he finished giving shir, did he finish Shema? Did he say the rest of the parshios? The rest of the first parsha and the other two parshios? So bar kapara omer eno chozer v'gomra, and Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi omer chozer v'gomra. There was a machlokas between bar kapara and Rebbe's son, whether his father used to go and finish the parsha. Amar le bar kapara Rabbi Shimon b'Rebbe, bar kapara said to Rebbe's son, Bishlama ledidi damina eno chozer v'gomra. According to my interpretation of what happened, obviously neither had a very clear tradition, it would seem. According, if you accept my opinion that he's not chozer v'gomer, haynu de mahader Rebbe ashmaita de ispe yitzias mitzrayim. That's why every time Rebbe would give shir, somehow it would all come. It would always find a way to slip something in there about the geula from Egypt, about yitzias mitzrayim. And why would he always try to do that? Presumably because he wasn't going to get to say the rest of Shema. So Shema has really, if you might want to call it, two fundamental mitzvos in it. One is Kabbalah Samalcha Shemayim, and the other is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So when Rebbe says the first pasuk, he gets Kabbalah Samalcha Shemayim, and that's why he would make sure to always talk about it in Shir. He would always somehow, you know, manage to incorporate something that related to the Exodus. However, Ela Didoch the Amris Choser Begomra, according to you, that he would finish it later. Lamalei lahadure kidei lahaski yitzias mitzrayim bismana. Why is it that he would why lamalei lahadure? Why would he try to always make sure to incorporate something into the shir? So the answer the Rav Shimon Rebbe gives or the Gemara gives is kidei lahaski yitzias mitzrayim bismana. It's true that he was going to say Kriya Shema later, finish the rest of it. But Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, as one of the two components, essential components of the Mitzvah Shema, he wanted to get that when it was still Zman Kriya Shema. So that's why he would make sure, aside from, yes, he would cover his eyes, he would move his hand across his eyes at some point, but he would also make sure to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so he would hit the two highlights of the Mitzvah. The rest of Kriya Shema? Okay, so Rebbe didn't do that because he was busy giving shir. So that's a kind of interesting question, because up until now, what we have been talking about is not how much you have to say of Kriya Shema, but what parts require Kavana. And even if one wants to argue that there's an obligation mid the Oraisa of only the first Pasuk, still there's certainly a rabbinic obligation of reading the rest of Kriya Shema. So maybe it doesn't require Kavana. Maybe it doesn't require Amida, but there's still a requirement. So the question is, why didn't Rebbe do that? And that requirement, by the way, is supposed to be Bismana. There is a Zman Kriya Shema. It applies to all of Kriya Shema. So the answer some of the Rishonim give is that because Rebbe was busy teaching Torah, therefore he was exempt. And even though, generally speaking, we say that you interrupt your Talmud Torah to say Kriya Shema, it's one thing when you're learning yourself. But when you're Malame Torah Barabim, so then it was better for Rebbe not to do the rest of the mitzvah Kriya Shema. He just did Kabbalah Samocha Shemayim. He just did Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim by talking about a related topic in Shir. And the rest of Kriya Shema, he didn't do. Okay.
Question?
Is there a question?
Yes.
Go ahead, Sam.
How did Rebbe Mekayim Zman Kriya Shema Bizmana? Through his incorporating it into his learning? Which would have made more sense, because that's what he was doing immediately, right after Shema. First he would say, cover his eyes, say Shema, and then at some near point, he would incorporate Yetzias Mitzrayim in what he was teaching.
I don't know if it was and a near point.
Later, and then only later would he go finish the rest of the parsha. That would seem to be not Bizman Kriyat Shema already. That was sometime later.
So that's correct.
So when it says Kedei Lahaskir, it's yes, it's Ryan Bizmana. Does that refer to what he made up in what he was teaching, a reference to Kriyash, to Yitzias Mitzrayim, or does it mean what he did later when he finished the third parsha of Kriyat Shema?
No, that refers to what he said during his shir. In other words, Rebbe would cover his eye, would put his hand across his eyes at some point within Zman Kriyat Shema and say Shema. And then he would make sure to talk about something in shir of within Zman Kriyat Shema, within the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And if
he did, he actually did fulfill Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim at that point. So the reading of the third parsha later on, you're saying was just because there's a separate, you have to read all three parshios?
Yes. If Rebbe read the rest of Kriyat Shema later, it was to be Mekayim, I'll say probably the mitzvah, the Rabbanon of Kriyat Shema, which is the rest of it. Yes.
But these are Ketaim that are actually in the Torah. So it's sort of a double thing going on, meaning these are from the Torah. It could be that Shinantam these, and also he said Shema at the same time.
When?
Well, the Hayaim Shema or all that is in the Torah. So that could be under the
Yes,
the,
but he didn't say, the point is that he didn't, the rabbinic requirement of Kriya Shema is the reading all three parshiyos. He right. didn't fulfill that, certainly not Bizmana. The machlokas is whether or not he fulfilled the chelo Bizmana. Bizmana, he sort of captured what might have been the two chief components of the mitzvah, midoraisa. Certainly, Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim by reading the first pasuk, and and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim by teaching something that related to it. Okay, so now...
one other question.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I should have asked it earlier. It's ironic that the very thing we call Amida, Shmona Esrei, you know, going back to the Amida, Rabbi Akiva, we said, would end up going from one side of the room to the other side of the room during his so-called Amida.
So let me, I wasn't going to say this, but let me comment on this. If you're a person who happens to daven and shul standing up and you pace, you know, back and forth slowly one way or the other, I'm not sure that Amida is required there. In other words, when we say that if you're mahalech, you have to stop, that means I'm going from point A to point B. We certainly wouldn't say if you're a person who shuckles during davening, you should stop shuckling during the pasuk of Shema. That's just sort of B. When we talk about a mahalech has to stop, it means I'm walking from where I parked my car to give shir at KJ. I parked at 90th Street on Lexington. I'm walking down there. That if I let's say I for whatever reason I didn't say Shema early, I have to say Shema, I stop. If you're a person who paces back and forth a little bit, I don't think that Amida is required there. And when you talk about Rabbi Akiva, when he was davening, you start on one side of the room and find the other side of the room, it wasn't that he moved from Omri to Mahalech. That was Amida, right? It's just when he bowed, he got up. He didn't pay attention where he got up. So I think that one should be careful to think about what Amida means. It doesn't mean stillness, but it means stopping for what you were doing. Okay, so now the Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Ila Berei de Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei de Rav. Amar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'nenas b'sheina yatsa. So Rav Ila Berei de Shmuel Bar Marta quotes Rav as saying that if you manage to say the first pasuk and then sleep overcame you, it was an onus. You couldn't keep your eyes open. So he says that you're Yotze. Now, if I were to read this Gemara, Kipshuto, which is the way the Rambam read it, nobody seems to note that the Rambam said this. If you only read the first Pasuk and you fell asleep because you were so tired, you are Yotze. And that would be the simple reading of the Gemara. Most Rishonim don't agree. The Torah doesn't even cite the Rambam's opinion. And they look at the continuation of the Gemara, which itself isn't compelling, but it says the following. Amar le Rav Nachman le Daru Abde. Rav Nachman told his servant Daru, "Bepsuka kama tsa'aron, tefei lo titsa'aron." So the first pasuk, like if you see me falling asleep, tickle me, nudge me, you know, bother me. Say, you know, say, Master, stay awake. Say Shema. After that, don't bother me so much. Now, the Rambam would have read this exactly the same way. you know, poke me and prod me until I say the first pasuk. And if I just like, if I seem out of it, leave me alone after that. Amar le Rav Yosef, le Rav Yosef bereid the rabba. Rav Yosef asked his colleague, Rabba's son, Avu checha hav abed. How did your father do it? Amar le b'psuka kama hava kametzar nashe. Tvei lo hava mitzar nashe. So only for the first pasuk did he really torture himself. After that, he didn't. Most Rishonim say, and it's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it doesn't mean that you don't say the rest of Shema. It means that you are misnamnim. You're neither awake nor asleep. The first pasuk, you have to muster the attention. Forget about the question of just kavana, but you have to sort of wake yourself up. And after that, ideally, you should be fully awake and focused. But if you're so dozing off, then we don't trouble a person. But they assume that you still have to read the rest of it, but even though you're reading it, what we call misnamnim. The Gemara is a translation of misnamnim. Is usually nim velo nim, tir velo tir, which means asleep but not asleep, awake but not awake. So that's what the most Rishonim say. The Rambam, nobody seems to note this, but if you read the Rambam carefully, he assumes that you actually read the first pasuk and that's it. You're not reading anything else half asleep. You just read the first pasuk. So again, it's a similar question to earlier. Is this issue linked, you know, to the earlier issues or not? The Rishonim who say that it's not, most Rishonim would say that Kavanah is only required for the first pasuk, but Kriya is required for the other things, and we're not going to let it go. The Rama would say that the Ikar Chiyuv of Kriyashma is only the first pasuk, so obviously, normally, to be Mekayim the Mitzvah properly, you have to read all of Kriyashma, but Kavanah is only required for the first pasuk, Amida is only required for the first pasuk, and if you're just totally exhausted and can't keep your eyes open, if you said the first pasuk, that in itself would suffice under those circumstances.
Was Daru?
You had a question.
Daru Avdei.
Stand 1 second. Rabbi Lichtenstein, you had a question.
Yeah. I'm sorry. There's a fire engine outside the window. There's a sort of obvious question here. It looks like this was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's general practice to be giving shir very early in the morning and therefore at a certain point have to read to say Shema, and how much of Shema would he say, and so on and so forth. Whatever happens to Tefillah B'Tzibur? I mean...
That's easy.
Yeah.
He wasn't davening B'Tzibur.
I understand.
The question is, was he davening, is the question. But the point is that Talmud Torah, for someone who's Torah Som Naso, might push aside Tefillah. It doesn't push aside Kriya Shema, which is why he has to sort of work this out. And for a regular, even for someone who's Torah Som Naso, it doesn't push aside Kriya Shema. And that would be the whole Kriya Shema, except for Rebbe wasn't just learning, he was teaching, and he was teaching publicly.
Right.
If I were to ask, I would say that the better question that begs itself was Rebbe really giving shir every day? Or does the story just mean that on the days that he gave shir like this, Rav said to his uncle, he said, I don't see him being mekabel shemayim. On the days of Rebbe shir, what happened to Shema? And the answer was what Rechia gave him. I have no idea. It seems a little, it's not the same thing, but we're going to see at some point later in the Masechta that when you have a funeral to perform, so you're not supposed to be motzias hames once man kriyashma has arrived. Even if there's going to be time to read kriyashma after the burial, you're supposed to wait for people to read kriyashma and then be motzias hames. The Rambam has an exception to this, and Adam Chashuv is different. If it's a very important person, then you could, if you'll be time to say kriyashma after the burial, then you wait, then you can take him out immediately. But the assumption is that for most things, you even burying a mace is a tremendous mitzvah. Nonetheless, you wait until after you've said kriyashma to do that. So what is motivating Rebbe? Again, there must have been a reason. What's motivating him to give shir in a time frame that it becomes impossible to say kriyashma? And by the way, what was the story with the people who were sitting in his shir? So I presume the answer is there, is that everybody, as anybody's familiar, if you give a 3-hour shir, your students are going to take bathroom breaks. So people took kriyashma breaks. They talk about that. They're also, when it comes to people, when the hesped is being given and the mace, when the mace is there, so individuals slip out for a short time to say kriyashma. If the mace isn't there, or I should say, if the if the Avel is there and the Mace isn't there, so then the Avel says Tzidukha, then the Gemara will say, well, everybody else says Kriyashma, waiting for the Hespedim. So what everybody else in Shir was doing, I don't know. It's hard to believe that Rebbe did this every single day. But even one day would have been problematic, and that may be what was Rob's question.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Rabbi Friedman mm-hmm. speaking. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this in a broader sense. That Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, if you take the opinion Enocho Zer Vigomer, that's interesting, you know, in terms of history, literal halacha, that he would not say the whole Shema. I mean, to me, it's just I just don't know quite what to do with that. You know, he's the Baal Mishnah, and here he is. He's well, we'll say this, and I'll say the Kriyas Shema during the Shir, and then that's that. If he does Enocho Zer Vigomer.
And if he was Chosef and Gomer, you know, unless you're a Chassid, so he was missing Zman Kriyashma also.
Right, right.
So,
I mean, yeah. Just saying what the implications of that are.
I mean, the implications might simply be that if you are the Rosh Hashiva who gives Shir from daybreak until 11 o'clock in the morning, you don't have to say Kriyashma that morning. Just flip your hand over your eyes. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Thank you.
Rabbi, I'd like to make an announcement to the class.
Sure.
I would like for everyone to take a moment, please, to make sure that they are on mute unless they are posing a question. Is everybody on mute in this year?
Yeah.
Hi.
Okay.
Thank you. Sometimes I can see and I can mute it myself, but if I can't locate who's where the sound is coming from, so it will continue to come. Thank you.
Isn't there an opinion that the Birchos Kriyashma is Doraisa?
Only there's an opinion later in the Perek, might even be that Kriyashma is the Rabbanon, but Emes Biatzah, Zechira Sitzias Mitzrayim is Doraisa. So that Rebbe was covering. And then there's the opinion, I think, of Haigon that brachos are ma'akvos, but that presumably is only the Rabbanon. And that is an opinion, but it's a minority opinion. But the Gemara will have an opinion on, where is that Gemara? I think it's in this parak, unless it's in the third parak. It may be it's the third parak. On Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. There's an opinion that Kriya Shema is the Rabbanon, but Emes Vayatzev, which means as the Chiras Sisias Mitzrayim is the Raisa, but I don't think anybody says that the brachos themselves, in essence, having the brachos is.
This kind of supports that, I guess.
Oh yeah, but they weren't that he wasn't saying the brachos. That's for sure. But the interesting question is whether or not you can say the brachos shelo bizmana. We do that regularly, if you think about it. Now, whatever we have in shul, where we start, let's say 9 o'clock. At that time of year, Zman Kriya Shema is before 9 or a little after 9, and we're not going to reach in shul. We say Kriya Shema before. We try to remind people to say Kriya Shema before you come to shul, even though we're not going to say the brachos. The brachos will say at least in the fourth hour. And according to the Rambam, even though that's not the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens, you can say the brachos all day. So, you know, it's very possible that Rebbe says the brachos later. And one thing the Gemara did establish in the first parak is that Seder brachos are not ma'akos. For some reason, if you fail to say Kriya Shema, let's say you didn't say Kriya Shema before the end of the third hour. In the fourth hour, I mean, you'll say, you'll say Kriya Shema with the brachos. But if for some reason you weren't going to say Kriya Shema, you couldn't say Kriya Shema, you didn't have enough time, I've never heard this question actually addressed, but we might argue then you might as well say Berchas Kriya Shema, and without Shema, because saying Shema now accomplishes, it's Talmud Torah, but it doesn't accomplish anything qua Shema. Whereas you could always just say Shema later, whereas the Brachos we may require be within the first 4 hours, maybe according to some opinions in Tochatzos. So, but for sure, he could have said the Brachos, it's possible he said the Brachos later. Okay, so now the Gemara continues talking about Amar Rabbi Yosef, Praktan Lo Yikra, Kriyashma. What is praktan? So praktan means that a person is either prone or supine. He's either is lying face down or face up. Some of you may remember this from a Shabbos Haggadah drasha I gave a number of many years ago. where the Gemara said Pesach were not quite Shloshim Yom Kodem HaPesach, but the Gemara says that Prakdan Lav Shmei Haseba, that lying supine on your back is not considered Haseba. And the Gemara follows that by saying Hasebas Yamin Lav Shmei Haseba, leaning on your right is not considered Haseba. It's not considered leaning. And then the Gemara says Mai Taima, and it says Shema Yachdim Kone Leveshet, because you might choke. And I pointed out in that shir, it's a machlokas harishonim, but the simple reading of the Gemara of Prakdan, Prakdan has two problems. Number one is that it's not called Haseba, that's not the way you lean. And number two, you might choke. You won't choke if you lean on your right side, but if you're supine and you're eating, you're going to choke, which is almost certainly pshat in the Gemara, but that, it's actually a machlokas harishonim, whether that last line explains why leaning on your right is no good or lying back on is no good. But Prakdan, one way or the other, is no good for Haseba, and Prakdan is no good for Kriya Shema. It's considered, on some level, a sign of disrespect. So now the Gemara says, the Gemara has a very interesting challenge. The Gemara says, Mikra hu delo likre ha migna shapir dami? You're telling me that you can't read Kriya Shema lying on your back, but it's okay to sleep on your back? Vaha Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, layit aman degoni aprakid. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used to curse, you know, he used to not literally curse, but he would speak disparagingly of someone who would sleep on their back. What's wrong with sleeping on their back? So this is actually only a concern for men, not a concern for women. Rashi writes here, Light aman degani aprakeid, shema yiskash evaro besoch shnaso, venira l'rabim v'derkenai. Maybe the person, as is normal biologically during the course of his sleep, is going to experience an erection, and it's presumably they didn't sleep, you can tell from many things in the Gemara, they didn't sleep wearing pajamas or clothing. They slept under a sheet. So it'll be sitting there and it will be visible to people who see, and it's somehow, it's a gnai. It's embarrassing. It's not appropriate. And therefore it's inappropriate to sleep on one's back. So now the Gemara answers the question. So it's not just Kriya Shema you can't read lying on your back. You're not supposed to sleep lying on your back. So the Gemara says, no. Migno ki mitzale shapir dami. As long as you lean a little bit sideways, not on your side, but a little bit to the side, so that's sufficient for sleeping purposes. That will avoid the problem. However, for mikra afal gav the mitzale the matzli nami osur. But for Kriya Shema, it's not enough if you're on your back to tilt a little to the side. You have to turn onto your side completely. In other words, the position that's appropriate to Kriya Shema lying down is lying on one side. I envision this, and I'm not sure this is the intent, but it's closer to the fetal position, which is a position of vulnerability rather than a position of pride. Okay, so now the Gemara concludes by stating, but v'ha Rabbi Yochanan matzli v'kari. Rabbi Yochanan himself used to only lean a little bit to the side and read. So the Gemara answers, shani Rabbi Yochanan the Baal Basar Havet. Rabbi Yochanan was very, very heavy, and it was very hard for him to lean totally on his side. I wouldn't ever teach this in public, but if you're interested in seeing a rather fascinating Gemara, and that Chazal were not afraid to address topics in very strange ways, I would recommend that you can follow up on Rabbi Yochanan's girth in the Gemara at the beginning. I think it's the beginning of the seventh paragraph of Bava Metzia, where the Gemara has some very, very interesting things to say, that if there were anybody who were very young in this year, I would never teach that to them. So if you're really curious, I see Josh, I see you're thinking, what is he talking about? I'm just kidding. So you go look it up in the Gemara and Bava Metzia. So bottom line is Rabbi Yochanan was very heavy, and therefore it was just very hard for him. So for him, he made the gesture of leaning towards the side, even though he actually wasn't leaning on his side. Okay. So for now, the Gemara is going to come back and talk about other aspects of how you're supposed to read Kriya Shema, which we will talk about. We spoke about it a little bit last week when we spoke about Echad and the pronunciation of Talon, but the Gemara is going to later in the parak talk about how Kriya Shema is to be properly read. In the meantime, the Gemara now turns its attention back to an issue of the Mishnah. So if you remember, the Mishnah had said, the Mishnah spoke about interrupting in the middle of Kriya Shema Ubircho Seha, in order to greet someone or to respond to somebody's greeting. And the Mishnah had said that Baprakim Shom Nea Kavod Umeshiv Uva Emtsa Shom Nea Yer Umeshiv Divrei Meir. Rameir's opinion was that the threshold, the kind of person for whom you would both greet proactively and respond to reactively if they greeted you, so that person as the same standard. It makes no difference. In other words, the level of person that you can interrupt for that person, you both interrupt to greet and you can interrupt to respond, obviously. But we don't say that there's a difference that for some people you can interrupt, for other people you can only respond. Rabbi Meir's position is that between parshios, between sections at the breaks, you can greet and respond to somebody out of kavod, out of respect, someone who's deserving of kavod. In the middle of a chapter, and in the Yushalmi, there may or may not be a dispute, but we assume even in the middle of a pasuk, in the middle of a pasuk, according to Rabbi Meir, you would be able to interrupt, to greet, and certainly to respond to someone for whom there is a relationship of yira, which we'll talk about in a moment. And Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that, no, that, and the Gemara is going to actually explicate this number. Rabbi Yehuda said the following. He said, in the middle of a chapter, in the middle of a pasuk probably, you can interrupt for someone, to greet someone out of yira, and you can respond to any person who's deserving of kavod if they greet you first. You don't proactively greet a person who's only deserving of kavod from you, but you can respond to them. And between the chapters, Rabbi Yehuda says, you can proactively greet someone for whom you owe kavod, and you can respond to anybody's greeting. Meshiv shalom l'chalava.
This kavod thing is unbelievable. Everyone should have kavod, seriously.
So it's very nice to talk about everybody is deserving of dignity, but this isn't simply dignity. I have to have kibbut av aim. There is a kavod due to my parents, a kavod due to my rabbeim, which
I get
do necessarily. Kavod doesn't mean just treating somebody with dignity. It suggests something beyond that. So I think, by the way, Rabbi Huda's position that if someone greets you not responding, that is a sign of disrespect. The Gemara says, the question the first question I talk about is, what is the definition of yira and kavod? So Rashi on the Mishnah, and the Rambam as well in Mishnah Torah, say that yira is, in Rashi's language, adam shu yare mipanav shelo yahargehu, a person you're afraid is going to kill you. So presumably it's not your parent, even if our children have occasionally heard us say, I'm going to kill you. And it doesn't refer to our Avayim, who sometimes we tortured and made crazy, but nonetheless, they still love us. It refers to someone who is a dangerous personality, someone who might take your sign of disrespect, of not greeting him, and he might kill you. So most of the Rishonim object and say that that's not correct. Said that Yira is not Shema Yahargehu. One Yira, and they point to the following. Tefillah has a much higher standard than Kriya Shema. The difference fundamentally between tefillah and Kriya Shema is tefillah is you are talking to God. And to interrupt when you are talking to God is incredibly, incredibly disrespectful to God. And the only circumstances in which you were allowed to interrupt in the middle of tefillah is if you're afraid someone's going to kill you. The Mishnah is going to say later, I think in the fifth paragraph, afilu hamelech shoal bishlomo and afilu nachash karuch al akevo. Even if the king greets you or a snake is wrapped around your foot, the Gemara will say, a king who's not going to kill you for not responding, and a snake that's not a venomous snake. It's not going to kill you if it bites. But basically, the standard of interrupting tefillah, because one is engaged in a conversation with God, is your life has to be in danger. Kriya Shema, you're not talking to God. Kriya Shema, you know, to quote a medrash that the Torah quotes, is Kriya Shema is like a protogma. It's like the pronouncement of the king. It's like the king, you know, like you see in the movies where, you know, hear ye, and someone, the crier, is announcing what the king's pronouncement, and there might be like a little thing on the lamppost which tells you what the king's pronouncements were. And that's what Kriya Shema is. And the idea is that every day we review sort of the king's declaration. What the Medrash says, it should be in your eyes, ki protogmo chadasha. Every day it should be like it's a new pronouncement, right? When it's the same old announcement, it's like when I would get COVID announcements from the town, you know, the first week when the town manager put out a video telling us and urging us to be careful and tell us the regulations. So you watched it with, you know, rapt attention. By the fourth week, it's like, I know what he's going to say. I don't have to pay attention. So Kriya Shema, the Medrash says, is supposed to be like a protogmo chadasha. But nonetheless, you're not engaged in conversation with God. So you interrupt. You might be saying nice things about God, praising God, talking about God wants for us, but the interruption is not of the same level. So the Rishonim ask against Rashi and the Rambam, if you're going to say you can't, Kriya Shema has a lesser standard of interruption than tefillah. And tefillah you interrupt for someone who might kill you. So you don't need to tell us that Meshiv, that Shoal Mepnei Ayira, someone who might kill you. That's a davar pashut. Yira is even a step down. And they say that yira is your parents, your rabbeim, where you say mora rabach kemora shemaim, that's yira. I don't remember how they identify kavod, but they don't say that shoam et neha yira, which is the way we paskin, doesn't mean someone you're afraid is going to kill you. In our context, that would be nobody. When you're davening in shul, it's a pretty good bet. Anybody who passes by you is not going to kill you, for treating them with disrespect. But yira would mean that if your rebbe walks in, and in theory, if the rabbi walked in, if we didn't do differently today, then it would be appropriate in the middle of Kriya Shema, in the middle, you just said Ve'haftas Hashem Elokecha, and you would get up and you would say, Good Shabbos, Rabbi. That would be appropriate. Again, we generally don't interrupt at all because everybody understands. So that makes life a little simpler. But in principle, your parent walks in, you would say, you know, Shalom Alecha Avi or Shalom Alech Imi. And you would greet them with the appropriate kavod because that's what Neha Yira. Okay, but either way, so there's a machlokas what the standards of Yira and kavod are. So now the Gemara is going to analyze the Mishnah, although I sort of explained the Mishnah already. In Rabbi Meir's language, Rabbi Meir said, Baprakim Shoam Neha Yira Umeshiv. So the Gemara says the following. What does it mean, Shoam Neha Yira Umeshiv? So the Gemara asks, Meshiv Mechamas Mai. Ilemam Neha Kavod. If you're going to say, I'm sorry, this is on the second half. Shoam Neha Kavod Umeshiv. So what does it mean, Meshiv? Ilemam Neha Kavod. So you don't have to tell us that. Hashta Mishal Sha'il. If you're allowed to ask Neha Kavod, then hadure to be choser, to be machzir, to respond, mi boy, you don't have to tell us that. Why does Rabbi Meir say, Sevaprokim, shol mnei kavod umeshiv? We understand, once you tell someone they can be shoel, they certainly can be meshiv. So Ella, what must it be? Shoel mnei kavod umeshiv shalom l'chal adam. It must be that in the first clause, baprokim, in during the break, your shalom neach kavod umeshiv, Rabbi Meir didn't fill in, is meshiv shalom l'chal adam. So ema sefer, how do you read in the second half? Uva emtza shalom neach yira umeshiv. So again, this is Rabbi Meir's quote. If you're shalom neach yira, the Gemara says meshiv mechamas mai. Ilemam neach yira, it means shalom neach yira and meshiv neach yira. Why you have to tell us that? Hashta mishal shayil, ahadure mi bayi. If you're allowed to proactively greet someone because of yira, certainly you're allowed to respond to them. Elam neha kavod. So if that's the way you want to read the Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir said, Baprakim shalom neha kavod, umeshiv means shalom l'chalada. And then, b'emta, in the middle of a section, shalom neha yira, umeshiv, and that means neha kavod. So the Gemara says that doesn't work. Hainu de Rabbi Huda, that's exactly Rabbi Huda's opinion. It's not. Rabbi Huda omer, b'emta shalom neha yira, umeshiv neha kavod, ubaprakim shalom neha kavod, umeshiv shalom l'chalada. So the Gemara wants to understand what is Rabbi Meir's opinion, and why does he formulate it as Shom Mnei Hayira Umeshiv? Meshiv is superfluous. So the Gemara says Chasure Mechasra V'Hachi Katani. The word Mishnah is missing a few words, and this is what it should say: Baprakim Shom Mnei Hakavod Ve'In Sarach Lomar Shumeshiv. In other words, it's basically you could have cut out the word Umeshiv. Means in the middle of a chapter, you greet in a chapter break, you greet someone because of kavod, and of course you can respond to somebody because of kavod. And uva emtza in the middle of a chapter, shol na'yira, and of course vein somach loma shehumesha because of yira. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion, and Rabbi Huda Omer. Then it reads very simply: sholam na'yira umeshiv mipnei hakavod ubarakim shol na'kavod umeshiv shalom lechol adam. Okay. So now the Gemara simply concludes.
Can I offer just an idea?
Sure.
What you said before, that in Kriya Shema, there are places where you are allowed to speak, and it depends to whom you're speaking and under what circumstances. Are you responding or are you initiating? Whereas in Shmona Esrei, you can't, because you're facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you're an Eved Ha'omed Lefnei Rabo. There's no way that you can interrupt, unless, God forbid, your life is at stake. But the fact that in Shema, the Mishnah and then the Gemara on top of it does give you responsibility to respond sometimes and in certain cases to initiate, says a lot about how the Torah and Torah Shebaal Peh want us to be respectful of people. It's a big Ben Adam L'Chavero that in the middle of Shema, you can be Meshiv Mipnei HaKavod. I always forget exactly the psak, but that there, and there are places where, you know, in between, I mean, we would never think that way. We finish Uvisharecha and you haven't started Vayom Shamoa and somebody comes in and sits right down next to you and you say to the person, not but you say, Good Shabbos, you know, or Good Shabbos, how are you today? Which is exactly what Shoel, you know, or Shoel and they have covered, so somebody that she'd have covered for. It's a marvelous expression of how important Ben Adam L'Chavero is. That's all I wanted to.
So I'll remind you of the Gemara and Daf Vav Amud Beis, the last two lines. The Amar Abi Chelba Amar Avuna Kol Sheyodeh B'Chavero. If you know someone regularly greets you, you should try to greet them. Shenemar, Bakei Shalom Rofeim. V'im Nosan Lo, if someone greets you, V'lo Hechzir, and you don't respond, Nikra Gazlon, Shenemar, Ba'atem Bi'artem HaKerem G'zeilas Hani B'Bateichem. Right? It's the G'zeil of the Ani. It costs you nothing. And nonetheless, it's considered a form of G'zeil. And the Gemara somewhere, I don't remember where, I don't think it's in Brachos, so not in the first parak, says that they said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that no one ever greeted him first in the Shuk, even a Nachri. He was always the first to give a greeting. So we do take it very, very seriously in terms of greeting. I think in our context, you're right, it's conventionally understood. It's conventionally understood that, and I can, you know, you could imagine a different scenario. It's one thing when somebody walks into shul in the middle of Berachas Kriya Shema or in the middle of Shema, so they know they're late, right? They understand, even if they had a good reason, they understand they're late and everybody else is doing something. But you could envision it more if someone is davening, you know, let's say you're sitting outside during COVID, and you're davening because it's nice outside, but you're not davening the minute, and the mailman comes up. So what do you do, right? So when the mailman says, good morning, so it would be extremely disrespectful not to respond, and the halacha would be is that you should respond, right? That's, I think, because the mailman doesn't understand that you're saying Kriya Shema. So I think that, yes, in shul, it's fairly obvious why that we don't interrupt because everybody understands. But in other contexts, it would be appropriate to do so.
Yes. I just have to add that in KJ, coming in during Birchas Kriya Shema, people do not consider themselves to be late. On the contrary, they consider themselves to be very early, actually. All right. But,
Sam, yes.
Rabbi Lipstein doesn't need my support, but you could, just to prove what he's even saying, the Gemara doesn't say here that maybe you should start saying Kriya Shema in a louder voice so that the other party will understand that you're in the middle of Kriya Shema. It doesn't say that you have to do that. It says, by the way, and also another pasuk, when Abraham says, Imna matzasi chen beinecha, alna tarvar me'al avdecha, gadol hachnasas orchim mikabalas p'nei shechina. So there, actually, you could say that Avram really is like davening. He's talking to God, and yet he's allowed to interrupt his talking to God to greet Ben Adam L'Chavero.
Okay.
So how come, you know, is that have any bearing on what we do in Shemona Esrei? Because you said that it doesn't seem to have a bearing on that pasuk of by Avram.
The only difference, actually, is that the difference between the two is that we, when we daven, we are standing before God. But God, kevayochol, in that context, was standing before Avram. And even though it says later, Avraham on Odeno made lefnei Hashem, Chazal comment that was a tikkun sofrim because it should have said the other way. It should have said Hashem Odeno made lefnei Avraham. So I agree with the sentiment, but I don't think it has an impact on the halacha of tefillah.
Wait a minute. If God's standing there, that's even worse. It's a real slight to God. You're turning away from God who's standing in front of you, and you're dealing with people.
Okay, again, in tefillah we don't do that, but in other contexts it might be appropriate. We should all merit to have God standing in our presence, like Avraham Avinu, and then we could then some of us might not be willing to be machnas the orchim, even if it's the right thing to do.
I'll just make a very short public relations announcement. In the forthcoming bulletin, Sam, for Pesach, I rewrote my talk that I gave on Parshas Vayera on this very subject of Gedola Hachmasas Orchim Mehakbolas Pnei Ashchina. And so you can find the whole thing discussed there, including a fabulous chiddush by Rav Moshe Avigdor Amiel on the implications of the whole thing. But we don't have to go into it now.
Okay. So the Gemara concludes this part on Yudal Raman Aleph Tanya Nami Hachi HaKorei Yishma Upaga Bo Rabo Ogadol Himenu Baprakim Shoel Mitnei HaKavod Vein Sarach Lomar Shehu Meshiv Uva Emtza Shoel Mitnei HaYira Vein Sarach Lomar Shehu Meshiv Divri Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, as he says in the Mishnah, Baemtza Shoel Mitnei HaYira Meshiv Mitnei HaKavod Baprakim Shoel Mitnei HaKavod Umeshiv Shalom L'chol Adam. So basically this is a Mishnah, a version of the Mishnah, but it has the changes that were introduced by the Gemara of the Ein Sarach Lomar Shehu, and those in Rabbi Meir's language. All right, so that's where the Gemara leaves this. The one very interesting question that arises, so as Rabbi Lukstein suggested, as I said, we don't generally interrupt in shul to say good Shabbos to someone. We're in the middle of Shema, the middle of Birchas Kriya Shema. Even if on a technical level it might be permitted, it convention seems to be not to do so. But there is another interruption that we might want to make, which actually presents us with a significant conundrum. Supposing one is in the middle of Kriya Shema, Birchas Kriya Shema, and let's say one came in late to shul, Chas V'Shalom. You came in late, and you're catching up, and you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, and the Chazan gets the Kedusha, or the Chazan gets the Kaddish, and you're saying Yehi Shmei Rabbah. Or maybe you were running ahead because you have to leave early and you didn't get a minion on time, and then you're in the middle of davening and the minion gets there and they say Baruch Hu, and you're in the middle of Kriya Shema, or you just went ahead a little too quickly. You were so excited about saying Kriya Shema that the tzibur were still at Yishtabach, but and they get the Baruch Hu, but you are in the middle of Kriya Shema. So the question is, can you answer Amen in the middle? And in fact, this is almost like asking, there's a sort of two aspects to the question, but responding to a prompt for God's praise, perhaps that is Meshiv Mitnei HaYira or Meshiv Mitnei HaKavod. That's the question. So Tosus writes here, Shoel Mitnei HaYira V'chulei, the bottom Tosus on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Rameiv Rabbi Yehuda Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Afilu Be'emtza Meshiv Mitnei HaKavod. So we generally paskin, whenever there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda Rami Meir named, we virtually always paskin Rabbi Yehuda. It's one of the rules of Psak that the Gemara in Eiruvin on Daf Mevav, Daf Mzayin gives us. It's not all the time, but most of the time. So then Tosas says, so we pass like Yehuda. Im Kain, says Tosas, Nira Shemutar Lanos Kaddish Ukedusha Be'emtza Kriyashma. It should be permissible to respond to Kaddish and to Kedusha in the middle of Kriyashma. De'in l'cha mipnei ha-kavod godol mizeh. There's no greater act of kavod. When someone says something about God and you're going to respond and say, Yehi Shmei Rabba Mavarach. So there's no greater kavod than that. So therefore, you are allowed to respond and answer. Aval be'emtza yudches, in the middle of Shmon Esrei, your Amida, is asur. De mashma lekamon beperek ein omden, de beigula letvila ein lanos, v'koshef kei mitvila atzma. It's a very funny raya that Tosus brings. He brings a raya that you can't interrupt in the middle, you can't answer between Goal Yisrael and davening, because that would break up Gula and Tfila. Certainly in the middle of Tfila, Tosa says you can't respond. I don't know if that's a perfect proof. I'm not going to explain why now, but that's what Tosa says. Now, why would you even think if you're allowed to answer in the middle of your Amida if there's danger to life? If you're not allowed to interrupt unless there's danger to life, the answer is when you interrupt you interrupt the Baruch Hu, it's all about honor to God. So maybe just because you're standing in God's presence doesn't mean you can't say long live the king. But anyway, so now Tosus continues. Umisha mispala levado, someone who is being mispala on his own. V'shliach tzibur magia lemodim, and the Shliach Tzibur reaches Modim, and you're supposed to say Modim Drabana, but you're not going to say Modim Drabana. It's too much of a gap. Nonetheless, Yishcha L'Modim, Avolo Yomar Modim. You should bow your head at Modim, with the proviso of Adafka Shreya Be'em Sabracha. In order to bow during the Amidah, you have to not be at the end of a bracha, because we are not allowed to bow at the beginning and ends of brachos, unless you're a melech who bows for the entire thing, or a Kohen Gadol who can bow at the end of every bracha. We don't. And therefore, if you're in the middle of a bracha, not at the end of a bracha, so then you can bow briefly for the modem as the tzibur is bowing. The nira kikoreh b'shvil bracha. It shouldn't look like you're bowing for that bracha that you're in. You're not allowed to bow except for the places where the Chachamim instituted, which is at the beginning and the end of Avos and the beginning and the end of Hoda'ah. Okay. And then Rabbeinu Tam Hayaragil Shayamamtim Ba'osei Fela Kidelanos Kadeshu Kedusha Matzibor. Rabbeinu Tam, apparently, I guess he may have been behind. He might have been behind and he wanted to answer Kedusha and Kadesh. So he would basically stop before Tilos Lekeloyo, and he would wait and let the Tzibor, it sounds like they would say Kedusha. They would even finish the Chazar Sashatz and say Kaddish perhaps. And then Rabbeinu Tam would resume his own. He would finish the Birchos Kriyashma, say Gal Yisrael, and say the Amida. And even though you would wait a very, very long time there, it could take a while, enough time to say all the Birchos of Kriyashma and Shema, which is what we call Shaha Kidei Ligmares Kula. You waited, you interrupted a mitzvah, and you interrupted for a time that was long enough to do the entire mitzvah, which we're going to learn later about in the Masechta, is a machlokes, whether you have to start again. There's a machlokes, whether shoha kidei ligmar eskula, chozer l'rosh. In the middle of Kriyashma, I was saying Kriyashma shal arvis, and then they kicked off the Super Bowl, and I was just so fascinated by it that I spent the next 3 hours watching the Super Bowl, and then I realized, I've up to b'hayim shemoah. So the question is, can I just continue Vayim Shema or not? So that's a machlokas, because clearly none of us, I think, our Kriyashma takes 3 hours. So there's a general machlokas about Shah Kedei Ligmar Eskula, whether or not you have to go back and start again. Rabbeinu Tam hailed not so by Kriyashma and Bircha Seha, so he would wait after, by Osei Fela, he would respond, and then he would finish up when the Tzibor finished Kedusha, and presumably Chazar Sashatz, and the Kaddish afterwards, then he would resume v'haya sober afilu shah kidei ligmar sakol eino chozer l'rosh. That was Rabbeinu Tam's position. But the point of this story here is Rabbeinu Tam used to actually respond. He used to respond and he would answer in the middle of Birchos Kriyashma. He would respond to Kaddish, Kedusha, probably not Baruch Hu because they probably already said Baruch Hu long before. But that was Rabbeinu Tam's position. There are Rishonim, it's a minority opinion, I do not believe we pass in this way, that say that there is no point in interrupting one Shivcho Shamakom for a different Shivcho Shamakom. We often interrupt things for Yeshmei Rabbah, for Kedusha, because we're doing other things. But here you're busy engaged in praising God, so there's no point in interrupting one praise to engage in another praise. But as I said, I think I'm pretty sure our practice is that we will interrupt to answer. We don't answer all Amens, I think. I think I have to check the Shulchan Aruch. It might be the Amen of Avat HaKadosh and maybe the Amen of Atashomei Tefillah and Baruch Hu and Kedusha and at least the Heshmei Rab of Kaddish. Probably maybe next week I'll show you the Shulchan Aruch and you can see. But that is our position, that interrupting for certain answering certain Tefillos is in the category of Meshiv Mipnei HaKavod, and it's something that we would do even Be'emtza HaBrach. Okay. We'll stop here. Any questions?
Thank you.
Rabbi?
Yes.
What? I'm a little confused. Mipnei Hayira in terms of Shema, Mipnei Hayira in terms of the Amidah. I mean, Yira in the Amidah is you're afraid for your life.
Right.
Correct? But correct. What is Yira in terms of the Shema? It's not the same thing, is it?
That's the Machlokas. The Rashi and the Rabbim seem to identify it as the same thing. Most Rishonim say that Yira means awe, not fear of life here.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay.
The issue with
thank you,
the story of Yudasi, and maybe we kind of said this, But because Vishinantem Levanecha is such a crucial part of Shema, that maybe teaching Torah is different.
In other words, you want to say, you want to suggest that because the whole point of Vishinantem Levanecha is Talmud Torah, so if you're doing it rather than talking about it, that's even better.
Yeah, that's what I said
before,
in the Torah.
I didn't say what you were driving at. It's
and even compared to a funeral.
Correct. Well, correct. The funeral's not. You want to suggest that a broader way of saying it is that since one of the mitzvahs that you mekayim with Kriya Shema, even the statement we're not supposed to utter publicly is that Adam is Yosef Dechovas of Talmud Torah with Kriya Shema Shel Shachris and Kriya Shema Shel Arbis. Also La Omro B'Shnei Ama Aretz. That's what the Gemara Menachos says. You Yosef Yemitzah Talmud Torah with Kriya Shema in the morning and night, but you're not allowed to say that publicly because then people say, oh, I don't have to learn any more than that. But if you want to argue that that's certainly a central another major component of Kriya Shema accomplishes, so once you're actually engaged in Talmud Torah, then the rest of Kriya Shema becomes a little bit less necessary. Okay, that could be. Good.
Rabbi, quick question about Torah reading yesterday.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just going to stop the recording.